The Tale of Triona by William John Locke. Chapter 1. Olivia Gale leaned back in her chair at the end of the dining-room table and looked first at the elderly gentleman on her right and then at the elderly gentleman on her left. "You're both of you as kind as can be, and I'm more than grateful for all you've done, but I do wish you'd see that it's no use arguing. It only hurts and makes us tired. Do help yourself, Mr. Trivett. And another cup of tea, Mr. Fenmarch?" Mr. Fenmarch, on her left, passed his cup with a sigh. He was a dusty, greyish man, his face covered with an indeterminate growth of thin, short hair. His eyes were of a dull, unspeculative blue.
"As your solicitor, my dear Olivia," said he, "I can only obey instructions. As the friend of your family, I venture to give you advice."
"Why the deuce your father didn't tie you up in a trusteeship till you were 25, at any rate," said Mr. Trivett on her right,
helping himself to whisky and soda. The table, covered with a green baize cloth, was littered with papers and afternoon refreshments.
"Why the dickens—"
he began again, after a sizzling gulp.
"Yes, it's most unfortunate," said Mr. Fenmarch, cutting off his friend's period. "And what you're going to do with yourself, all alone in the world, with this enormous amount of liquid money, is more than I can imagine."
Olivia smiled and tapped the blue-veined hand that set down his teacup. "Of course you can't. If imagination ran away with the solicitor, it would land him in the workhouse."
"That's where it will land you, Olivia," said Mr. Trivett. "Common sense is the better mount."
"That's rather neat," she said.
"If it wasn't, I wouldn't have said it," retorted Mr. Trivett,
sinking his red jowls into his collar, which made them redder than before.
"You're so quick and clever," said Olivia, "that I can't understand why you won't see things from my point of view."
"You've got to learn that a man of experience can't take the view of a wrong-headed young woman."
Mr. Trivett emphasized the asperity of his tone by a thump of his palm on the table. As a matter of fact, he was genuinely angry. He was the senior partner in Trivett and Gale, auctioneers and estate agents, in the comfortable little Shropshire town of Medlow, or rather, the only surviving partner, for Gale, Olivia's father, and his two sons had, one after the other, been wiped out in a recent world accident. Olivia's decision, inspired from no other fount he could think of than lunacy, involved the withdrawal of considerable capital from the business. This, of course, being an honourable man, he could not dispute. But here were peace and reconstruction and inflated prices, and heaven knew how much percentage on the middleman's capital, and here was this inexperienced girl throwing away a safe income and clamouring for a settlement in full. They had argued and argued. It may be stated here that Mr. Trivett was the executor of her father's estate, which made his position the more delicate and exasperating. And now Mr. Trivett's exasperation reached the table-thumping point. Olivia smiled wearily.
"It's such a pity."
"What's a pity?"
"Oh, everything. One thing is that there's no more gold. Of course, I know you can't understand, but that's your fault, not mine. I should have liked to realise all that I've got in sovereigns. Do you think they'd fill a bath? Have you ever thought how lovely it would be to wallow in a bath of sovereigns? Treasury notes are not the same thing. They're either very dirty and smell of plumbers, or very new and smell of rancid oil. Gold is the real basis of romance."
He put her down for a mere female fool, and replied practically,
"We'll not see a gold coin in England again for the next 50 years.
"Well, well," she said. "Anyhow, there's still some romance in mounting the deadly breach of the bank counter with a drawn cheque in one's hand."
"I'm afraid, my dear Olivia," said Mr. Fenmarch mildly, "I don't quite see what we're talking about."
"Why, we've discussed it every day for the last 3 months," cried Olivia, "and now is the very last end of everything. A final settlement, as you called it. That's what you two dears have come for, isn't it?"
"Unfortunately, yes," said Mr. Fenmarch.
"Then it's all so simple. You've shown me this."
She picked up a foolscap document and dropped it.
"The full statement of account of my father's estate, and I approve, I being the only person concerned. You've got to give me one last cheque for that amount." She tapped the document. "And I give you my receipt, signed over a penny stamp. You'll have to stamp me a penny stamp, for I've only got 3 halfpenny ones in the house. And there's an end of the matter."
My clerk made out the receipt and put